Classic Business with Michael Avery, sponsored by Alex Forbes, for insight, advice, and impact.
Well, Vodacom has come out swinging in its first half numbers, double-digit service revenue, nearly 15% EBITDA growth, and a 32% jump in headline earnings. The group clearly accelerating into its Vision 2030 strategy, with Egypt firing on all cylinders, financial services scaling across the continent, and South Africa holding steady despite a strained consumer wallet. But perhaps the biggest headline of all in these numbers, after 17 years and multiple court battles, the Please Call Me saga has finally been laid to rest. A settlement has been reached, and Vodacom can now close a chapter that has cast a long shadow over one of the country's most important companies. To unpack the results, the settlement, and where the group is heading next, I'm joined by Vodacom Group CEO Shameel Joosub. Shameel, thanks for joining us. And that dispute finally settled after 17 years. We did see your EBITDA dropping by 874 million rand, which is attributable to a once-off cost, amongst others, and the Please Call Me matter, obviously, part of that. Ahead of the results, the difference between your company's expected earnings per share before and after the settlement showed that the payout was somewhere between 350 and 750 million. With the results now published, we can safely say it's probably towards the upper end of that range. How important was it for you and for Vodacom to bring finality to this matter?
So, Mike, I can't comment on the actual numbers, but because of the confidentiality around the agreement. But I think very important for both us and Mr. McCarthy to have reached finality on it, so that, you know, I think we can both move on.
And what message do you think it sends out to stakeholders about governance and good faith, given the nature of the case?
Yeah, look, I think, you know, with these things, it's always difficult. And I think, you know, just being able to reach finality was important because the case has been going on for many, many years. So I think for both parties, you know, being able to reach a settlement was critical. And of course, from an investor perspective, I think they would be very happy that, you know, the matter's now behind us.
Mm. Let's start at 30,000 feet looking through the numbers. Service revenue up 12.2%. HEPS up over 32%, a very healthy print in any environment. What, in your view, were the two or three biggest levers that delivered this performance?
Well, Michael, you know, a couple of years ago, we communicated our strategy, which was to diversify revenue by basically growing into the geographical diversification, but also product diversification. And that's come out strongly into the numbers. Firstly, you know, with Safaricom on the one side and Egypt on the other side, and all our international markets all delivering sterling results. And that's, you know, given a rise to a very nice operating profit mix, with only 42% now coming from South Africa. Why that's important is because South Africa is a much more mature market, and the other markets still have a lot of growth left in them. So whilst South Africa is very important for us, from a profits and earnings perspective and so on, also good to have exposure to some of these other markets. And at the same time, also, you know, we put a lot of focus on a product diversification and really the beyond mobile part. So, you know, just over 21.8% now coming from beyond mobile, with fintech, of course, the key in this numbers, with over, you know, with Safaricom now over 20.2 billion coming from fintech revenue. And that's annualizing to, you know, more than $2.2 billion for the year.
I mean, it's really impressive that. And that beyond mobile already at just under 22%, tracking towards that 30% target. And as you say, a big part of that shift fintech, which really is becoming one of Vodacom's strongest growth pillars. Financial services revenue overall jumped over 20% to 8 billion rand. You've got M-Pesa, you've got Vodacom Cash scaling fast, especially in Egypt and Tanzania. What does this say to you about the structural demand for mobile money in Africa? And on the merchant side, I see you've now got more than 11,300 South African merchants. You've got over 600,000 merchants internationally. What's the next frontier? Is it credit? Is it SME tools? Is it wealth?
Yeah, so, you know, I think it's scaling in all the different markets. The reality is that all of the different markets are at different levels of maturity. And so we're taking the learnings from each of the markets and then spreading it to the rest. So an example would be in Kenya now, we've launched the investment products in Tanzania. And we will now spread those investment products to all our markets while still growing it in those markets as well. The same with international money transfer. On the other side, insurance has become quite a big business for us in South Africa. So we'll use the learnings and, create a center of excellence and use the skills and the pricing and platforms that we've built to scale insurance into the rest of the markets as well.
Egypt delivered phenomenal numbers, 42% local currency service revenue growth, a 53% jump in EBITDA. We've got 5G now switched on in that market. What exactly is working in Egypt for you? And if you look at that run rate, is that sustainable or is this performance partly cyclical in that region?
I think it's a few things. I think firstly, the way the market is regulated is really important. So that creates a healthy market structure. Also, then with all the operators doing well and then generating revenue to invest more into the market. So, more capital investment in the market. Traffic growth over 22%. So that's been fantastic. Financial services have grown 49%. So that's been amazing as well. And then we're growing in enterprise, growing in, in consumer. Selling a lot of content as well. So really, it's been all-round sterling performance with, a very strong EBITDA growth of 61% and earnings growth of 70% in rands.
South Africa, sadly, is it's a much more mature market, a much more difficult market. Service revenue grew 2.2%, EBITDA fell 5.3%. With prepaid under pressure and a one-off cost hitting the numbers, obviously the Please Call Me matter there. What's driving the softness in prepaid? And do you expect that pressure on the consumer wallet to persist into next year?
Yeah, so we're seeing a weakness in the consumer wallet. We're also seeing gambling increasing and becoming a bigger part of the consumer wallet, which is a bit worrying, to be frank. But what we're trying to do is to make sure that proactively getting ahead of it, putting more competitive offers, trying to get more of what I call the active days of consumers, so where customers have more than one device, that we're grabbing the lion's share of that, and also relying on our loyalty programs, fintech, and really trying to make sure we can give customers more value through our different offerings.
Interesting that you picking that up. TFG's picking up the gambling thing. I was chatting to Sean Summers of Pick n Pay. He laments the fact that so much money is siphoned off and it's externalized. If you look at a lot of the online gambling players, not much of that money circulates back in the local economy. So it does have a net negative impact. Some say, well, no, it's an industry like any other. You don't need government to come in and interfere. Where do you sit on how we actually deal with this very worrying rise of online gambling?
It needs to be regulated, and I think there should be, clear rules and regulations around how it's regulated and so on. And we've seen that across our markets. We saw an explosion in Kenya and Tanzania, as an example, a few years ago. And then we saw strong regulations that followed, and it helped to create a bit more sensibility, but also more transparency around it.
Staying with the South African network, you've invested 54 billion rand into network resilience over the last 5 years. Data traffic has surged 31%. Are you starting to see a payoff in customer experience and churn reduction on the back of that investment?
Yes, very much so. And I think, but at the same time, we're also giving more and more better pricing, which is one of the reasons why prepaid is under pressure. But definitely, you're seeing customer usage grow to over 6 gigs per customer. So you're seeing utilization pick up and, of course, improved experience because we're rolling out more and more 5G towers. So you're also picking up more 5G traffic at the same time and giving customer better and faster experiences.
And I know during load shedding, there was a lot of attention paid on installing batteries at the towers and that kind of thing. And then they were stolen. And so you had to beef up security and fixing them in place. What are you seeing in the market from that perspective now? Is crime under control? Is it still a major concern for you?
Well, we've seen a major reduction, but we've also taken measures to protect the towers and also working with the other telcos in this respect. We've seen more than a 50% reduction in, let's call it, theft at the sites. But, it's taken also having armed response on a number of sites and so on, as well as, hardening the sites, improving the security at the sites and so on. But there's a definite drop in base station theft. compared to where we were a few years ago.
Well, that is encouraging. Long may that trend at least continue, while certainly not being out of the woods from a crime perspective. After a long process, finally, the Competition Appeal Court has approved the Maziv fibre transaction with conditions. How transformational is this deal for Vodacom, especially in terms of open access and the cost to communicate and expanding that fibre network to underserved communities?
Well, we're still waiting for the final approvals from ICASA, who were given conditional approval in 2021. So we're hoping that comes through in the next week or so. And then there can be some money flows, which would then help to start giving the impetus to Maziv to take that funds, reduce the level of debt, and also expand the fiber footprint. I think it's really critical in a number of ways because it also provides the fiber to the sites for the telcos, which is imperative in a 5G world. So, I think having the funding to be able to do that will be critical. And then off the back of that, you're then building fiber to the home, fiber to the business, and so on, not just for yourselves, but other independent players, because of the open access nature of the asset, will be able to also pick up on that. So I think the deal itself is quite transformational for South Africa.
It shouldn't be taking 5 years, though, really, Shamil. I mean, hopefully the lessons have been learned.
I hope so. I think, if you want to be competitive as an economy, we've got to make sure that, we can get to faster approvals, because that also will help to drive the economy. People have the opportunity to invest somewhere else.
Are you seeing that with the GNU? Many people are saying to me, Michael, what's changed? Initially, there was so much expectation, but the GNU just seems to be old wine in new bottles. Are you seeing a change?
We're working very well with the ministry and as part of the GNU, and of course from the telco sector, the relationships and the partnerships that we're forging with government or trying to assist, I think is a lot better. Recently, government has come out with whole digitization agenda, and I think what's encouraging is that instead of rebuilding everything, it's going to also be looking to partner with the private sector. So, I think the more we leverage off, these joint public-private partnerships, I think the faster we can run in a number of instances as opposed to recreating everything. So, I think there's some really positive signs there as well.
Just looking ahead, the group has reaffirmed its medium-term targets, double-digit service revenue and EBITDA growth. What's the single biggest risk that could knock you off that trajectory? And equally, what's the biggest opportunity that you're looking at to help accelerate it?
I think a couple of opportunities. Firstly, from a smartphone penetration perspective, of our 223 million customers, 80 million still don't have a smartphone. From a financial services perspective, only 42% of the base, 94 million customers, are using a fintech product. But, for the rest, they're still not using fintech products. So there's still a huge opportunity for growth there. And then, I think we've got some great opportunities to grow in fiber, partnerships in satellite. So, a lot of new opportunities, and especially with helping governments digitize and so on. So some great opportunities around enterprise, cloud hosting, and so on. So, a lot of opportunities and so on. From a risk perspective, I think our single biggest risk is currencies. And that's why we're seeing such strong growth as well. With currencies being more stable, that's actually helped us a lot in terms of to produce a good set of numbers. So that's our biggest risk. And I think also then the geopolitics, how that plays out and so on. I'd say geopolitics at the moment, I would put in the messy category. So who knows what tomorrow's going to bring.
Yeah, but I certainly wouldn't be a betting man trying to tell you what's going to happen from one day to the next when it comes to what's going on in the White House and the broader geopolitical scene. But thank you very much for your time, Shameel Joosub, Group CEO of Vodacom, reflecting on a half year that really underscores the group's resilience, its continental ambition, from the surge in financial services to the strong performance in Egypt and that long-awaited closure of the Please Call Me dispute. You're listening to Classic Business on Fine Music Radio. More after this.
Classic Business with Michael Avery, sponsored by Alex Forbes, for insight, advice, and impact.